Romans chapter 12, and you'll find it on page 1139 in the Church Bible. So Romans chapter 12, beginning at the first verse. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Great. Thank you very much, Penny. Let's just grab my stand. Good morning again, everyone. Are we all well? Not too depressed about last night's events? It's not the first time in human history that England have started a tournament like that, is it? There we go. Right. Today, we are looking at the gifts of the Spirit. And I thought I'd start by just sharing with you the two birthday cards I've most often received, okay? All right, here's the first one. Familiar with that one? Look behind the curtain. There we go. That's the most popular one among my not-yet-Christian friends. They seem to think that's amusing. Here's the second one. Popular among all of my friends. So that tells you really quite a lot about my identity among those who know me best. He's a Christian and he's a buffoon. There we go. With friends like that, who needs enemies? Now, very few of us, I suspect, would want to describe ourselves as gifted, would we? Certainly not if those are the connotations. But the reality that we're thinking about today is that actually God says we all have gifts. If we've come to faith, if the Holy Spirit is in us, then we have gifts. And our passage in Romans 12 that we just heard read implied it. But actually, if we look at one of the other famous passages on spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, and here's a verse on the screen from that, verse 7. It says explicitly, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. It's talking about gifts of the Spirit there. To each one, they have been given. So the question that we're thinking about today is what should be our response? And this is the first sermon of the series through the term that we've called Tools of the Trade. And in the first half, we looked at prayer, didn't we? If you like, that is the power that brings tools to life. In this second half of the term now, we're looking at the gifts of the Spirit. They are the tools themselves. Put those two things together, the gifts of the Spirit being used by God's people and the power of God through prayer, and amazing things can happen. That's why we're looking at them this term, because we're putting in place the things that we need to grow. We need to be praying and we need to be all using our gifts. If we're to see the power of God fully at work in this church, and if we're to see many, many more drawn into this church, coming to faith and finding and experiencing God here at St. Paul's. So this is where we're heading just with the sermon. Just give you a little bit of a sense of direction. There we go. What are spiritual gifts? We'll look at their purpose, their diversity? And secondly, how should we use them and how can we grow in them? So that's where we're heading. Let's just pray now that God would speak to us through what we're looking at this morning. Father God, thank you that you pour your gifts upon us. Thank you that we have the greatest gift of all, which is Jesus dying for us and rising again. And in view of God's mercy, as our passage started this morning, we want to offer ourselves to you as living sacrifices. But Father, we know you want to equip us. Father, we know that you want to give us that joy of experiencing your power doing incredible things that otherwise would not happen as we offer ourselves to you. So Lord, would you do that in us? Would you use every one of us? And this morning, would you help us to understand all that you have for us? Would you put in us the desire to have those gifts that you want to give us? And most of all, Lord, would you allow us to use them and to bear fruit for your kingdom through them? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's get underway, and we'll go back to that passage, which is the next slide, that verse that we looked at before. We focused before on how each one has been given a spiritual gift. But now, as we look at the purpose, you can see what it says at the end of that verse. For the common good. We've been given gifts for the common good. Now, that might sound a bit vague, but what does it tell us? It tells us that spiritual gifts are not primarily for the enjoyment of the recipient, though there is a thrill and a joy of being given gifts by God. And that's where Richard was very helpful in getting the children to give away the gifts. It really captured that sense, didn't it? That they are given for the benefit of others. And Paul unpacks this much more fully in the third famous passage on spiritual gifts. There are three famous passages, and the third is Ephesians 4. And we'll see a verse from there coming up now. In that section of Ephesians, not that one, Ephesians 4, perhaps we haven't got it, I don't know. I'll tell you what it says anyway. Ephesians 4, Paul says that actually gifts are given us so that we would all grow to maturity. And that means maturity in faith, maturity in knowledge, maturity in character, and ultimately maturity in love. And perhaps the next slide will be what I'm looking for. Verse 16 of Ephesians 4, Paul explains, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So this idea of a body and how every part of our body has a purpose, doesn't it? Obviously, we can probably survive without an appendix, can't we? But I think everything in us, without exception, perhaps with that exception, it has a purpose. We need it all. And Paul is saying that we're the same. We need each other. And we're meant to grow and build each other up as we do our work together. That is the picture, and the not so subtle message there is that we all have a part to play. Every one of us. It's not about loads of spectators and a few people doing the work. The church is about a body in which every one of us is mobilized and released into action. And that was the point made by the passage from Romans again. Do you remember that repetition that Paul uses? He says, if someone's gift is prophesying, let him prophesy. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let them teach. If it's encouraging, let them encourage. And it goes on like that. And we could, on one level, see that as an instruction to a church to release everyone to use their gifts. Make sure that they're able to do what they're called to do. But I think the main application here is actually to individual believers. If you have a gift, use it. If you have a gift, use it. And use it to build up your fellow believers and to draw others into his kingdom. And believe that God will give you the opportunities to do that. Paul tells us elsewhere in Ephesians chapter 2, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So, that's the purpose of spiritual gifts. What actually are they then? Well, I think the implication is clear from all three of those famous passages and all that they tell us about spiritual gifts. They are special abilities or skills given to Christians by God that we wouldn't otherwise have. Which means they're not the skills and abilities that we were born with or that we had before we became Christians, though they too are good and helpful and God wants to use them as well. Rather, it's gifts given to us since conversion, specifically to be used for the growth and strengthening of his people, and given for that purpose in his divine providence by God. Now, it's certainly true that these gifts emerge with time. A new Christian is not likely to have as many gifts or be as aware of their gifts as someone who's been a Christian for much longer, although they do have some very special opportunities, not least with their friends who are not believers. But on the whole, God gives us gifts when we have the maturity to use them and the opportunity to use them. Now, I had no idea when I was younger that God was calling or equipping me to preach. I think he waited until I'd matured to the point that I could be trusted to stand at the front and not say anything stupid, or at least not so often. But at any one point in our journey, God will have gifts that he wants to give us now, to be used now. And that's certainly been true in my experience, right through my life. It's been different things at different times, reflecting the context, reflecting my maturity, reflecting the opportunities, reflecting my age, reflecting my limitations, and reflecting the experience that I had. So, do you get the picture? I think God wants to give us gifts at every stage in our life. They do change. But the important thing is we need to be wanting them. And Paul makes that very clear, actually, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, where he says we need to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. That's a really strong term, isn't it? Eagerly desire. And he repeats that in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, adding that we should especially desire the gift of prophecy, which is why we're having a special seminar on that in the church in 10 days' time, Wednesday week. Because if we're to eagerly and specially desire it, we all need to understand it, and we all need to open ourselves up to God to be able to use it. So that's something we'll be doing on Wednesday week, whether you've got a very particular gift of prophecy or you simply want to be more open to whatever God is saying to you and for others. Come along to that a week on Wednesday. And why do we eagerly desire gifts? Yes, because God tells us to, but it's also because we want, I hope, to build God's people up. We want to be part of a church that's growing, using its gifts, doing all that God calls it to. We want to grow in faith and fruitfulness and maturity. And if we have asked God to give us gifts and opportunities, expect him to answer that prayer. I think back to moments in my life where I asked God to give me gifts, where I felt that I was at a point where there were new things that he wanted to do, where I felt frustrated by the degree to which I was being used. And I said, God, please, would you give me gifts and opportunities for this new season? And as I look back, he did that. Some of them were practical. Some of them were more overtly spiritual. Some of them were behind the scenes. Some of them were up front. But what united them all is they were opportunities that I was the right person to take at the right time. And I believe that God will answer that prayer for you as well. Not necessarily immediately, but in time. Maybe not in the way that we expect, but in the way that he knows best. As 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18 puts it, and there should be a slide for this, there it is. But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Really powerful words, isn't it? God is sovereign. He gives us gifts exactly to the people at the time that he wants us to have them, to ensure that his churches and his ministries beyond the churches have the people and the gifts and the abilities that he knows they need. What an incredible thing it is that God is doing that, knitting it all together, resourcing his people as part of his big plan to grow his kingdom and to be at work powerfully in this world. And I chose that passage from Romans 12 out of all the passages I could have chosen because I think it has the most representative list of spiritual gifts, one that has the greatest relevance for us all because we're all wired differently, we're gifted differently. But if you look at that list, I think it's really, really helpful. The list in 1 Corinthians is clearly skewed towards the more sort of supernatural gifts, if you like, because they were the issues that were live in that church and there were problems related to that. The list in Ephesians is very focused on leadership, and so that is a little skewed in that way. But this list that we'll see now in Romans 12 just covers everything, doesn't it? Look at it, prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, mercy. We've got things here that are practical. We've got things here that to some extent we can all do, like giving, like showing mercy, like encouraging. And we've got things there that only some of us are called to do. And yet it represents the full range of all the ways in which God uses us in a church. And every one of us, I think, can be touched by at least one of those or things like it. Because actually, spiritual gifts, I think there are 22 mentioned in the New Testament. But I want to say to you that actually, they're not the only spiritual gifts out there. Because think about things like this, the gift of worship leading, the gift of sound engineering, the gift of networking, the gift of welcoming, the gift of cooking, the gift of making the church look nice, and the gift of interceding, which of course is a gift we can use right up until the end of our lives. Even if we're housebound, we can pray, and that is a gift too. And it includes gifts that can be used in a church, but also gifts that can be used well beyond the church, in the workplace, in the community, as we care for each other, as we witness, as we encourage each other, as we serve each other, as we show mercy, as we lead things at work and in our family, as we do all of those things. In all of these contexts, God can use these gifts if we ask Him to and if we invite Him to. And He wants to do that in every single one of us. Well, we're well over halfway. We've explored the purpose and diversity of spiritual gifts. I want us to think now about how we use them and how we grow in them. And pick up again on that Romans passage, in particular, verse 3, which precedes Paul's teaching about the body and the spiritual gifts. And you'll see this on a slide now. Paul says this, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." Now, what is he saying here? Well, clearly Paul wants to make sure that the Roman Christians have the right degree of humility, because pride and conceit is a recipe for disaster in a community. However wonderful the gifts we might have are, they can be absolutely destroyed when combined with pride. And that's what was going on actually in the Corinthian church. And it really was something Paul had to tackle hard. But what's interesting here is that Paul doesn't say, think of yourselves in accordance with the gifts you've received. Instead, what he says is, think of yourselves in accordance with the measure of faith you have received. Now, what's the significance of this? I think it's this. Paul recognizes that it's not the number of gifts that we have that matters. It's not the type of gifts that we have that matters. It's the faith we display in the way that we use them. Do we use our gifts truly believing that God can do great things through us and truly trusting Him to do so, depending on His power at work and not on our own? If there is a hierarchy for Paul, it's only on the basis of this, how much we trust God to work powerfully in the use of our gifts, and certainly not on the basis of what our gifts are. And that's consistent with what Paul teaches about boasting in himself and not in the Lord. He says that several times in his letters. And it's certainly consistent with what he says about prophecy here in verse 6 in Romans 12. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. Now, in the case of prophecy, faith is absolutely essential. Unless you believe God can give you a revelation, you're not likely to get one. Unless you believe God can speak to others through you and are trusting Him to do so, it's not likely that He will. However, many of the other gifts can be used without faith if we're not careful. And this is where the challenge lies. We can easily slip into just going through the motions. For example, in witnessing, we may want to share our faith. But if we don't pray for God to give us the words to say whenever we go into a significant social opportunity or a significant conversation, then actually we might be missing that opportunity. Or as we care for each other, if we don't pray that God would just give us that additional insight and compassion and understanding of what's going on inside that other person and their emotions, we might miss the opportunity to truly help them and care for them and restore them and encourage them. And especially with more practical gifts, whether it's in administration or stewarding or the serving of drinks, whatever it might be, we can fail sometimes to pray that God would give us opportunities for anointed conversations or simply a radiant smile that communicates so much as we do those things. In other words, what we're not doing is stepping out in faith, inviting God to turn service into ministry, or in the workplace context, to turn work into witness, to turn what could feel like a duty into a blessing and a joy. And this all plays out, I think, in the people that we choose to admire as well. Paul, it seems to me, would have us look for inspiration for our lives, not from those who may be the most gifted, not for those who may seem to have the most glamorous gifts, certainly not from those who are up front necessarily, but instead from those who make the most of what they have, because they always exercise their gifts through faith. Which is certainly what Jesus taught in the parable of the talents, didn't he? Don't worry yourself with how many gifts you have or which ones. Instead, simply concern yourself with allowing God, through his power at work in you, to multiply the blessings that your gifts can bring. Which reflects the fact, I think, that over time, our faith, our expectancy, and our gifts shouldn't just stay constant. They should grow. And even as we get senior in our age, yes, there will be certain limitations that come into play, just as there are at the younger end. As our circumstances change, doors open, doors close. But what can keep on growing is our faith and expectation that God can use us, and we can be used even more in our 70s and 80s than in our 20s and 30s. If we step out in faith and ask God to use us. So this is where I want to finish this morning. A final verse I want to share with you. It's a very famous one from 2 Timothy chapter 1. Timothy was a young man, but in the light of what we've been sharing, these words are applicable to all of us. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God gave that the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, even though we might fear using our gifts. But he gives us power, love, and self-discipline so that what we've been given, we can have the courage, we can have the confidence in his power, we can have the love to use it in a way that blesses others, and we can even have God-given discipline to make sure that we don't neglect it, but we fully fan it into flame. Is that what you want? It's certainly what I want, and it's what I long for all of you. If St. Paul's, if we all use our gifts, if we all allow God to fan into flame our gifts, just think about what we could do. Well, I want to just remind you of something I mentioned last week, knowing that there'll be different people here today. If you feel you have any sort of emerging leadership gift or potential leadership gift, the Growing Leaders course from September is a great opportunity to see that fanned into flame. It lasts for 10 months. It's a big time commitment. I've got some flyers here which are just on that little table just as you leave. If you want to find out more, grab that flyer. You'll see the dates of when it takes place. And then we've got an introductory evening. If you could perhaps just let the office know that you want to come so we know who to expect. And we'll tell you more about it then. A great opportunity if you feel leadership might be something that God can grow in you in some way. But for all of us, whether that's for us or not, here's the final thought that I want to leave us with as the next slide comes up now. Will we flan into fame the gift that God has given us? And we're going to move into a time of ministry now. What is prayer ministry? It's an opportunity for us to respond to the word of God and the Spirit of God speaking to us. It's an opportunity to say, I am going to finish what God is doing by allowing him to continue to speak, by allowing others to pray alongside us into whatever God is saying, so that we leave this building with God having finished whatever it was he's wanting to do in us. Does that make sense? Do you remember the parable of the sower? How some seeds can just be left on the path and they come to nothing. Prayer ministry is one of the ways in which we ensure those seeds of God speaking to us today are not picked off by the birds. They're not trampled on the path, but they sink into good soil.